Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, wherever you're from and wherever you're watching from today. My name is Clint Kaler, and I lead a church and ministry called Transfigured in the Midwest of the United States, in the United States of America. And the point of our time together online today is to teach you about the kingdom of God, to proclaim to you the gospel of the kingdom as taught in the Word of God by Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament, and to hopefully demystify and clarify and give you a clear path forward in order to enable you to walk in what the Word of God has declared and expected from us as sons of God. There's a lot of confusion, okay? And so everything that we're doing is to do our best to clear up the confusion, to pull down as what the Word of God calls strongholds. And you can read about that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Paul says that we have divine weapons to demolish strongholds. And that's what it seems like when the truth comes at you. It seems like, man, things are trying to this word is trying to demolish stuff in my mind. And it's true, but Paul goes on to write about how damaging strongholds are, and he defines what a stronghold is. A lot of people may read that verse and think, well, stronghold is some demonic thing, some demonic principality that's in the heavenlies. But strongholds are, as he puts it in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, opinions and arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And everything that we are, everything that's required to grow up into Christ is included in the Spirit of Christ that is in you, and it's called the knowledge of God. Jesus said this, I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he's going to lead you into all truth. He said, I'll send you the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you into all truth. Okay, this is what the Spirit is leading us into, the knowledge of God. And that word knowledge, most of the time in the New Testament, is the word epignosis, and it is the kind of knowledge that comes through experience, and experience that which is clear. That's the actual Greek definition of that word. Clear experience gained by having done something, right? If you're going to be, if you want to gain the knowledge of what it's like to be a somebody who jumps out of a plane and parachutes, a skydiver, then, you know, just because you have a skydiving helmet, a parachute, and watch skydiving videos on YouTube does not make you a skydiver, because in order to be a skydiver, you have to have experiential knowledge, okay? In order to grow up into Christ, which is what the Word of God declares to us is the will of God for every son of God, every believer, the will of God for you is to mature into Christ, growing up into him in every way. The Greek word for this is called teleos, oftentimes is translated the mature man or the perfect man, okay? Jesus, it's written about Jesus that he's the firstborn of many brothers. Some translations say many just like him. To the carnal mind, these things are foolish, okay? These things are imaginary. These things are taught against by men's minds, by men whose minds are not renewed. And it doesn't help any that we have virtually no examples of this on the planet. But we can read about these kinds of men that walked as Jesus walked and conducted themselves as Jesus conducted themselves in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and the epistles, mainly those writings of Paul the Apostle, who, by all accounts that we can read, functioned as Jesus Christ functioned in the earth, okay? And he said, I labor and toil with all of God's energy that is in me, working to present every man perfect, or teleos, in Christ. And today, I'm going to break that down and simply deliver to you simply as I can, the secret to maturity. If you are interested in finding out more about us, I'd like to invite you to go to our website. That's www.transfigured.church. And on there is tons of videos, tons of stuff that you can read, watch, or listen to. Things that are going to help you, tools that are going to help you in your own maturity. You know, everything that we do on there is for the sake of making a disciple. And so we only produce tools that make disciples. We don't produce tools to gain a crowd. We don't produce videos to gain a crowd. We do these things for the sole sake that you would begin to walk as he walked, as we've been saying. And one other thing I'd like to mention about that is our app. So this is an app that you can download anywhere you download your apps. It's free. And this is the main driver of everything that we do and teach. You're going to find it here. This is the vehicle for everything that we're doing, both public and private. On our website are many things, but not the private things. So if you want access to the private things, meaning the teachings that aren't streamed to the public and things like that, get the app. Also on the app, you can find something called the Discipleship Training Cycle. And this is basically the gospel of the kingdom broken into 24 teachings designed to tear down these opinions and arguments that the modern church has put in place in order to obscure the knowledge of God. And, you know, when I say modern church, I'm not talking about the true church, right? I'm talking about the church system, okay? But these these teachings that are found in the discipleship training cycle are going to be the very things that we teach over and over in our churches, in our meetings. Paul said this. He said, I teach the same thing everywhere and in all the churches, which are my ways, which are in Christ. Okay. What were Paul's ways, which are in Christ? We teach that. Okay. And we teach it as plainly and simply as possible. What was the purpose of Paul's ways, which are in Christ? The purpose is to present every man perfect in Christ. Okay. And that for an, even for an, a larger purpose, which is to, as it states in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 and other places, to return all things in the heavens and the earth back to their original state again in him. This is what the authority of the Lord Jesus is for, to subdue the earth, to that his kingdom would come and that his will would be done on her on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the gist, I say, of that kind of introduction of who we are and how you can get how you can connect with us more and better. We do take prayer requests, so you can submit that on the app. You can submit it online. We have seen, I don't even know the number. I was going to say, it's safe to say hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds of people instantly healed through the power of God. And we do this mostly by going door to door. We're faithful to go door to door in our city and in our region. And we literally go door to door, street to street, neighborhood to neighborhood. And we announce to them that we belong to a group of people who are devoted to the eradication of sickness and disease. That gets their attention. And then we ask them who, and we tell them, we're healing the sick in your neighborhood through the name of Jesus. Who in your house needs to be healed? And we have seen broken bones instantly healed. We have seen all sorts of sickness and disease. We have seen blind eyes opened. We have seen deaf ears opened. Just almost you name it, we have seen it instantly healed. And we not only heal the sick, but we teach others to heal the sick. And we're making men out of people who have been emasculated by the church religious system. We've got the fruit, and it works, and we're proving it out, not just through the things I'm doing, but through the things that those whom we are discipling are doing. Today, as I mentioned, I want to go through I'm calling here the secret of maturity. It's not a secret. It's in the Bible, okay? But it's a secret because we read the Bible, but we have no one. We have very few people who can rightly divide it. A rightly divided principle from the Word of God is someone who has done their diligence to study, to understand the context of the principle that's in the Word of God, and who can understand and has studied to understand what the actual intent that was this letter was written to the church for. So a lot of these letters written to either Christians or churches or many churches or even a people group, as we see in the letter called Hebrews. So if you understand who they're written to, the intent of the writing, and then you read in context what the writing is about, then you're well on your way to rightly dividing the Word of God. So we're going to talk about, again, the secret to maturity. Again, maturity is, let me just start here. This is where we often start. Quickly, Romans 8:29, this is the will of God, that you were predestined to be conformed into his image. Predestined to be conformed into his image. And we see that word predestined many times. Also, we see the same thing written in a different way where it says before the foundation of the world. We know that Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the world. We know that certain things were decided before he made Adam. Okay. And these things that were decided, we can read in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1 has got a pretty comprehensive list there. But we were predestined to be conformed into his image. That's Romans 8:29. We were predestined for good works. Jesus said, the same works I do, you will do in greater, and so on. We were predestined for sonship, to be adopted as sons. And in the Greek, that is actually It says in the Greek, actually, it says this, placed as adult sons. Okay? So sometimes the English translation is lacking. Many times the English translation is lacking over what it says in the Greek. That's because the Greek is just such a vivid, full language that, you know, there's very often not a word-for-word translation available. And if you're hungry to go into some study on translating from Greek to English, or seeing the original intent of the Greek writers, I invite you to get the Wiest Expanded Translation written by Kenneth S. Wiest, and you can find it for a relatively cheap price, usually less than $25 on Amazon or really anywhere you buy books. Now, speaking of the Wiest, I'm going to start out with the Wiest, and I'm going to begin to lay down what it means to mature or to grow up into Christ in every way, as it says in Ephesians 4:15, unto the measure of the stature of his fullness that it talks about in Ephesians 4:12 and 13, and kind of close the gap, take the mystery out of what it means to go from where you are to where Christ is, meaning from your current state of maturity, which when you are born again as an infant in Christ, and you must grow up into him. Okay, so many other things to say about this that should be said, but if you listen and watch all the time, we do say these things. I just can't say them all here because I've only got a short time with you. So starting at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, I'm going to read verse 5 through 10 from the Wiest. Just listen in, because it says it a little bit differently. It uses more words because it's trying to convey the whole Greek explanation, the whole Greek meaning. Okay, so starting at verse 5, this mind, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, this mind constantly be having in you. This mind be constantly having in you. There's a command. I don't know about you, but when I read the Word of God, I read for the commands. I listen for the commands because I want to hold myself accountable to these commands. Just like Paul is my apostle writing to me, I'm reading the book of Philippians as he is instructing the Philippians. This mind be constantly having in you. This mind which is also in Christ. Again, the intent and aim of Paul's writings is to present every man perfect in Christ. Okay? Again, what does this mean? You are the exact manifestation of his character, power, authority, and works. Okay? That's what righteousness is. This is what it means to be reconciled to God in Christ, that there would be no difference between you and Christ. Okay? Reality is that he possesses nothing that you do not possess, because he became a man so that you could become a man just like him. And he died and was resurrected so that his spirit could be sent back to the earthly realm to inhabit you as a son, okay? And this is what gives us the ability not only to have the knowledge of God, to grow up into Christ in every way, but to do the same works that he did and promised that we would do greater. This mind, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who has always been and at present continues to subsist in that mode of being in which he gives outward expression of his essential nature, that of absolute deity. Okay, so Jesus is always being God, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. He's always going to give expression of his nature. Okay, whether he's in the form of God or whether he takes off his deity and becomes a man in human flesh, he's always going to give expression to his true nature. First of all, that's one of the first commands here, is we're going to give expression to our new nature. Which expression comes from and is truly representative of his inner being, that of absolute deity. If you have the Spirit of Christ residing in you, the Bible says that he who joins himself to the Lord is made one spirit with the Lord. So you have the same inner spirit, the same inner workings as Jesus Christ. What is the nature of this spirit that has been joined to your spirit and become one? It's that of absolute deity. Okay, that doesn't make you God. but it does make you like Jesus Christ. Who did not, after weighing the facts, consider it a treasure to be clutched and retained at all hazards, this being on an equality with deity in the expression of his divine essence. But, so we're going to see here where it's Paul's writing, he says, even though the Son of God is equal with God, he didn't retain the outward form of that equality, but instead entered a new state of existence, took on a different form. He literally changed species. Let's read it. He emptied himself. Himself he made void. Listen to these words. Himself. He emptied himself. Remember, Paul's purpose in writing this is that we would have this same mind, this mind which is in Christ, the mind of Christ. He emptied himself and made himself void, having taken the outward expression of a bond slave. He gave himself to this, in other words, which expression comes from and is truly representative of his nature as deity. Entering into a new state of existence, that of mankind. So although Jesus Christ has never stopped being the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, he's never stopped being God. He changed his state of existence when he entered this world as a human being born of Mary. Okay? Now, he didn't stop being God, but he changed the state of existence by making his former state void in himself. What state was that? Of supreme deity, of the second person of the Godhead. You know, we read in Revelation chapter 2, I believe, of this man sitting on a throne and the glory and the wonder and the thunder and the lightning and the elders bowing down, okay? That's not who we see walking around in sandals and human flesh. We see a man coming to serve, but this man has the same nature as God himself and possesses the same abilities and power as God. Very important to understand. He entered a new state of existence, that of mankind. Why is it important for me to say these things? Because he has made you equal to him. He has made you equal to himself. Remember, he calls us brothers, the firstborn of many brothers. That means we have the same father. That means he stooped down to become and to show us. He came as the original intent, God's exact, not only exact representation of the Father in human flesh, but what the Father always intended for a human to be. And then Christ, through his sacrifice, canceled the debt of sin against us. And by doing that, purchased us. And the first thing he did when he purchased us is recreated us in our spirits. What is that recreation? Going from this sinful nature to the nature of God. Peter writes this, we have been made participants in the divine nature. That's what it means to be born again. And because you are a son, the purpose of being born again or becoming a son is given to us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where his spirit joins himself and becomes one with our spirit. Now, that is the image of Jesus Christ. Now, just like a baby is born, we see the resemblance between the baby and the parents, but with that baby has to mature in order for it to be a human that functions like the parents. The same is true when you're born again. You're born as a babe in Christ, spiritually immature, meaning you have not yet grown into what's been given to you as a son. So that's the point of discipleship. This is what Jesus said about discipleship in Luke 6:40. He said, no disciple is above his teacher, speaking of himself, but when fully trained or equipped, when fully equipped, the disciple shall be as the teacher. He shall be as the teacher. And this is what Jesus had in mind when he was speaking in Matthew 28, giving the Great Commission. He said, go into every nation and make disciples of them, What's he really saying? Bring them into mature sonship. Let's keep going here. Verse 8, and being found in outward guise as a man, he stooped very low, having become obedient to God the Father to the extent of death. Okay, here's, let this same mind be in us. Paul is commanding us. He's giving us the mind of Christ. He's changed his state of existence, and he stooped very low, and he became obedient to the Father to the extent of death, even such a death as on the cross, it says. Verse 9, because of which voluntary act of supreme self-renunciation to God. Now, what is this act of supreme self-renunciation to God that Christ went through? He changed his state of existence. He made himself void as God, changed his state of existence, and humbled himself to become a bondslave in human flesh, that he might obey even unto death. He emptied himself of everything that made him God outwardly. Now, the only thing that Christ retained is the nature and the spirit that was inside of him. Jesus even said this. He said, it's not I who do the miracles. He said, it's the spirit of my Father in me. That's the same way we heal the sick. That's the same way we grow up into Christ. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and that was sent back to the earth in Acts chapter 2 to reside in us. So we have the same nature as Christ and the same spirit as Christ. Now we are in the same position as Christ as well because of his work, his sacrificial work on the cross. We are in a position of sons. The debt of sin has been cut off against, the debt of sin that was against us has been cut off, paid, canceled, forgiven. And you have been given a new nature, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:24, that we might die to sin. Okay? So you have been made equal with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're functioning equally with him right now, and that's the problem. That's the thing that the earth is groaning for. That's the thing that's in your heart that you know is possible, no matter how many people tell you it's not. Okay? Now, let's get back to this because we're getting ready to jump into the reason for this supreme self-renunciation where he changes states. When you are born again, that is a state change. You go from a human in the race of the first Adam, and now you are translated, the Bible says, out of that kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son. You get a state change because you go from darkness to light. Okay, so the path of Jesus is our path. Although his role was different in ways because he was the firstborn, okay? Now, because of which, verse 9 of Philippians 2, because of which voluntary act of supreme self-renunciation, God also supereminently exalted him to the highest rank and power, and graciously bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, in order that, now these are important words that we see often in the New Testament. We read a passage, and then it says, in order that. That means that everything we just read is for this purpose, which comes after the words, in order that. So why did Christ make himself void of his outward form of deity, enter a new state of existence, that as a bondslave in human flesh, that he would become obedient even to death on the cross? By the way, let this same mind be in you, Paul says, and this is the secret to maturity we're getting to. It's in order that, verse 10, in recognition of the name, all which the Lord Jesus is in his person and work, which Jesus possesses, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth. That covers the whole gamut. That covers everything. And this is important because Now that Jesus has been given this name, which is above every name, and we have read that, and the purpose of that is that every knee should bow, both in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth. Now we see the job or the purpose of the church who is going to receive his Spirit, and it's the Spirit that comes from this name, that every knee would bow. Okay, this follows the commands of Jesus to his disciples. Go into every city and heal the sick that are there. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the new age of the regeneration, where the kingdom of heaven is going to come and create a new heaven and new earth, and all of its inhabitants are going to be brought into immortality with Christ on the planet. This is the message of all these things that are coming to pass. Okay, this is our job as sons, and this is why we have to mature, because it is our job to bring all things in subjection to him. Okay, what does it look like for cancer to come into subjection with Jesus? That means it's cured and exterminated. What does it mean for blind eyes to come under subjection to Jesus? That means there is not a blind eye, that can be found. You know, what does it mean for even the works of the devil to come under subjection to Jesus? That means hell has no influence on the earth. Precisely what Jesus meant when he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. You know, we've seen some battles against the church on hell's behalf. And we've seen some times where hell seemed to win. But the promise is that hell shall not prevail against my church. Now, Greek word is ecclesia, and that is Jesus borrowing that word from the Greeks, and that word was used to represent a governing body of people. See, Jesus came in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 with the government of God on his shoulder. He came to set up a rule, as Daniel says in 2:44 of the book of Daniel, that this kingdom of God will break to pieces and bring to an end all other kingdoms, and it shall endure forever. It shall never end. Okay? This is the purpose of Christ, that all things be brought under subjection to this name that the Father gave him, that is supreme above all other names, because of his sacrificial act of self-renunciation. He made himself void, enter a new state of existence, and began to show us what it means to be a mature son of God. What does it say about this son? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Man, that is you. That is me. How do we get there? Let's find out. Now, Philippians 2:8, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. I'm pretty much done with the weeks, except for maybe one or two more times. Let's go back to verse 8 of Philippians 2. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. Okay? Thank God that Jesus did that. But remember, he is our example. So what does this word humbled mean? It's Greek word 2758. It means to make empty, to abase, to make of no effect, to make of no reputation, to be void. Okay? So to empty yourself. Again, Paul commanding, this mind be in you. This mind be in you. What's Paul's purpose for writing? To present every man perfect or mature in Christ. Why is he saying this mind be in you? Because he's a stickler and wants us to jump through a bunch of hoops? No. He's telling us his ways in Christ by which he has reached whatever measure of maturity we see in Paul. I mean, Paul landed on an island and healed every sick person on the island. Everywhere we look, he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's doing what Jesus did without fail. All right. Now, what does this mean to make yourself void, to humble yourself? What does it mean to empty yourself for the accomplishment of a purpose? When Jesus emptied himself to present himself in a new state of existence, it says what it was for. to become obedient even to the point of death on the cross. In other words, it says this in Hebrews 10:7. I have come, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Okay? So what's the mind or the attitude that's required to grow up into Christ? To disassociate with yourself. To disassociate with yourself. To empty yourself for the accomplishment of a purpose. And what is this purpose? Ephesians 4:15, to grow up into Christ in every way, that we could do the commands of Jesus, that we could do the Bible. Heaven's expectation and all that heaven did for us on our behalf through Christ is so that we could do the job represented by Christ as our example. Your carnal mind is going to fight for this all day long, okay? Disassociate yourself with your carnal mind, with mere human logic and reasoning. Embrace what the Word of God declares that you are. How do we begin to mature into this? First of all, and as this says, have this same mind. Empty yourself for the accomplishment of this purpose. And we'll even say it a few different ways here to help you get it. You have to disassociate with yourself, that you would become completely unencumbered in the thorough accomplishment of something, even though it will cost you your life. I'm going to say that again. You must disassociate with yourself, that you would become completely unencumbered in the thorough accomplishment of something, even though it will cost you your life. Okay, this is what we see in Christ. This is what the attitude that we see in Jesus Christ. You know, maybe we need to tear this stronghold down. Jesus, without fail, healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons. He said this about himself: no man takes my life even. I lay it down. I myself choose to lay it down. Okay, so in Christ, we see our example. Jesus came and made himself void. He completely emptied himself, and he put himself in a place of accomplishing what was written of him in the Word of God, even though it caused him to be crucified on the cross. Now, in order for us to begin to mature, we have to have this mind. We have to forget, and we're going to read this verse in a minute, what's behind, and strain forward to what's ahead. You have to completely disassociate who you were in the first Adam, that mere man, that fallen man, and you have to associate completely with the new man that you become, which we see represented in Jesus Christ. That is exactly who he has made you to be. And you have within you the ability to function in the Jesus Christ that we read in the Word of God. But if you don't have the same mindset, the same attitude, the same intention, the same ways of Christ, meaning, unless you choose to disassociate with yourself so that you could fulfill the will and the word of the Father, you're never going to mature into Christ. Jesus said, it's not I who do the works, it's the Spirit of my Father in me. So Jesus didn't come and do all these works just because he was God. Remember, he took off all of that. He made himself void of his prior state. And he entered a new state of existence, the Bible says, that of a human. Okay? Of course, he had no sin, and nor could he sin. That's why we worship him. That's why he's the firstborn. That's why he's the lamb that was slain for all sin. But he didn't do any of the miracles. He didn't raise the dead because he was God. Remember, he entered as a man that we have been made of just like him. So it wasn't because Christ was God that he did any works. It's because he was God's example of a son, a sinless man indwelt by his spirit, which is what you are when you're born again. You become a sinless man so that you could die to sin and receive the spirit of God since you become a son. Now, in that, you must take the same mind. All right, let's move on. Again, we're going to see why God exalted him, and we're going to focus on this word exalted. I don't know what comes into your mind when we see this word exalted, but we're going to put it in context here. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Now, we have the beginning of this verse start with the word therefore, which means Christ qualified for this exaltation by, as we have already read, and I keep stating over and over because it needs to be burned into your brain and your heart, that through this act of supreme self-renunciation, he entered a new state of existence to become obedient. Listen, to become obedient, even if it cost him his life. To become obedient. You have to hear these words. Why are you born again? Why do you have God's spirit? To become obedient, to enter a new state of existence, to become obedient even to the point of death. Okay? That is the secret of maturity. Let's back it up and hammer it home even more. Let's look at this word exalted. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. This is Greek word 5251. It means to elevate above others, to raise to the highest position. To elevate above others, to raise to the highest position. It means to exalt to the highest rank and power. To raise to the highest rank and power. Now, again, this word is that we just read for exalted. It's 5251. It comes from two other Greek words, and we see this word exalted many times in the New Testament, okay? And not just about Jesus, because, again, the point is to bring you into maturity or bring you into this exalted place that you could overcome the world. To bring you into this exalted place, I didn't say make you God. Don't let the religious things in your mind that's been planted there overcome the word of God. To be exalted above something is to be given authority over it. And if we're going to grow up into Christ, we are going to grow up into the manifestation of Christ in every way. That's what it says in Ephesians 4:15. Again, that we would grow up into Christ in every way. It doesn't say in Christ, to grow up in Christ. That's not what it says. You could be from America, but you can't grow up into America, but you can grow up into Christ, to grow up into Christ in every way, okay? This is the word of God. Now, James 4:10, let's look at this same word that Paul used for God highly exalting Jesus. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I don't know what you have thought about this word, but it means to, I'm just going to keep it close by because I'm going to be referring to it over and over. It means to exalt to the highest rank and power. Okay? So if you're going to be, if you're going to humble yourself, again, what is James saying here? He's saying the exact same thing that Paul is saying in Philippians 2. James 4:10, humble yourselves. Paul, chapter 2 of Philippians, let this same mind be in you. Because Christ humbled himself, God exalted him. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What does that mean in your mind? Well, I don't know what it means in your mind, but every scripture we have in the New Testament is about presenting you as a mature son of God, perfect in Christ, having grown up into him in every way, and he shall exalt you. Now, we know these verses and we love to quote them. It's bumper stickers and on refrigerator magnets and t-shirts, Christian t-shirts of all kinds. Now, you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. If that's so, where's the proof? If that's so, where's the evidence? Now, that's the problem. And that's the problem that I'm solving today with the Word of God. Humble yourselves, and he shall exalt you. In other words, if you, in the same manner as Christ, in a supreme act of self-renunciation, completely separate yourself to what the Word of God says you are, and for the purpose and the commands of Jesus, then you will find yourself exalted over these names that can be named, these knees that need to bow. Listen, let's just start with the works of hell. What would it be like to find yourself in a place where you are exalted, not only in principle, but in experience over cancer? That at your words, cancer dies. That's what we see in Jesus. Over paralytics, that at your word, paralytics' bodies are restored flawlessly, without fail. That at your word, dead bodies are raised to life. Humble yourselves, and God will exalt you, or you will find yourself exalted over every knee that needs to bow. Okay, we could go on and on for examples there, but now let's talk about the fallen human race. Now, Jesus said we're not to lord it over anyone. But remember, part of this humbling means that he became a bond slave. He became a servant, obedient to the Father unto death. That is the same for us in humbling ourselves to find ourselves in a experiential reality of an exalted being over all the works of the devil. We're going to become a bond slave, not only to the Father, but we're going to serve man. How are we going to serve man? We are going to serve them by setting them free. And as it writes about Jesus in Acts 10:38, who went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. In other words, sickness is an oppression of the enemy. But are you finding yourself a little weak on healing? A little weak on consistency and faithfulness? Hey, a little weak on not walking in sin? Humble yourself. Go through this supreme act of self-renunciation. Enter a new state of being so that you could live only for the obedience unto death. And we're going to define obedience, okay? And I'm going to make it real easy for you. Now, 2 Corinthians, this is going to be a sacred cow for most of you. 2 Corinthians 12:7. People call this Paul's thorn. I'm not going to talk about Paul's thorn, but people say that Paul's thorn was sickness and disease. The Word of God clearly simply states that the thorn was a devil sent by Satan, okay, to stir up crowds against Paul wherever he went. Now, let's read why the devil was trying to stop Paul through persecution. Again, we're going to see this word exalted, the same word that it used for Jesus. Because of his humility, God highly exalted him. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, some people think that means pride, but it's the same word. Greek word 52:51, therefore God highly exalted him. It's the same word James used, humble yourselves in the Lord and he shall exalt you or lift you up. Paul's saying, there was given to me through the knowledge of God the ability to rise up above and overcome all things from this exalted place and to prevent me from being this person in Christ, who is exalted, and what does this mean? He's going to have the position of overcoming all things. He just walks into cities and turns them upside down. He sends him persecution to stop him. Okay, what is persecution? It comes to stop the servant. It comes to prevent maturity. It comes to prevent discipleship. Now that we've learned and seen from Scripture this word exalted, we see that God's plan is to bring you into the same exalted state of this new creation man that Jesus Christ presently exists in and demonstrated through its effectiveness of his time on earth. We now see also that it is God's plan to exalt us as well in the same way. Now, let's look at what it means to be exalted in this way over all things for the purpose of every knee bowing. Okay? Philippians 2:21, again, going back to Paul here in chapter 2, he's not changed the subject. He's still in Philippians. He said, "For all seek their own, which not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Let's read it from the Weiss translation, Philippians 2:21. "For one and all, without exception, are constantly seeking their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ." Okay? And we have, presently in the church system, teachers teaching and removing this mandate, this requirement to humble yourself, to leave your prior state of existence as a mere man so that you could become obedient even to the death if necessary. Okay, this is, and when we say obedient, I'm getting ready to use another word that will hopefully vividly clarify with simplicity what this means in your mind. But we have teachers teaching that God just wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants to bless everything you do. Listen, there is no greater blessing than being a son of God. But Jesus became a son that he could enter a new state of existence, that being a man, a new man, a heavenly man that no one has ever seen before, that he would become obedient even to death. Jesus walked in what he walked in, did what he did, not because he was God, but because he humbled himself to become nothing. Because he came and gave himself for the express purpose of obedience. Let's read on. Let's see Paul's account of how he begins to put this in practice. Philippians 3:8. He hasn't changed the subject. He's still going on and on. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Okay, in context, he's talking about becoming a perfect man, a mature man. He has completely disassociated with his former state of existence. And he is associating now with Christ's example to humble himself for the purpose of obedience. Let's read this going on in Philippians 3:13-14. A couple verses later, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." Okay? This is Paul in Christ's example. These are Paul's ways in which he has come into maturity and continues to mature, forgetting what lies behind. If you're going to go into maturity, if you're going to come into spiritual maturity, you're going to have to forget not only who you were, but what you were. Let me say it again. If you're going to begin to mature in Christ, you have to not only forget who you were, but what you were, because what you are has completely changed. You have become what Christ is. He says, "I forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead." What is it that Paul is straining forward to that of what lies ahead? Oh, that's got to be heaven, brother. He can't wait to get to heaven. That is not the context of this verse. The context of this verse is reaching a place of spiritual maturity beyond which there is no progress. Okay? The context of this is growing up into Christ in every way. So he is straining forward for full maturity. He is straining forward into the person that he's been made in Christ. He's straining forward in maturity. Okay? How is he doing this? Completely forgetting what he was and bearing down on the goal, as it says in the Weiss translation. Okay? This is not only a supreme shift of your life. This is a completely new mind and mindset on your life. Okay? And I got a few more things to say that will hopefully really clear it up for you. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, what is the call of God? Romans 8:29, that you would be conformed into his image. Okay, now what is the goal of this? What is the goal of this call to become a son of God? To present yourself perfect in every way. In other words, to present yourself not in heaven, here in a flesh and blood body, as he is, so are we in this world, John writes. So in order for the Christ that has been exalted over every name in all dominion and power to lift you into the same place, or to exalt you into the same place of authority, you must exercise your mind in the same way that Christ did. Have this same mind, Paul wrote. Exercise, in the Greek, that means exercise your mind in this new reality. Okay? What does it mean to exercise your mind in this manner? It means you're going to completely disassociate with what you were. And you're going to humble yourself, which means you're going to become obedient to death, even, maybe even death on the cross. So, in order for the Christ that has been exalted over every name in all dominion and power to exalt you into the same place of authority, you must exercise your mind in the same way. Have the same mind. Christ said, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Exercise your mind in the same way. But he himself emptied, he made void. He himself emptied, he made void. Have you ever met someone with that look in their eye of purpose? Have you ever met someone who has devoted their life to the reaching of a goal? They have got a different look because they've left everything to possess the thing that they have set their life on the path of. You know, maybe a great mountain climber. They have devoted their entire life of practicing and training in order to maybe climb Mount Everest. Okay? They have got a determination and a purpose that has caused them to leave all that was behind and strain forward to what is ahead. That focus is what you're missing and why you're not maturing and why we don't see ourselves walking as sons of God in the example of Jesus Christ. Now, on the flip side, have you ever seen people who look like they're in obedience but still full of themselves? You can smell them a mile away. They look like they're in obedience, but they're still full of themselves. Man, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And you can, as I said, smell them a mile away. That's not what we're after. We're not after, you know, primping peacocks who are making a name for themselves and trying to gain a following, and they manage to eke out a miracle here or a sign there. We're talking about people who empty themselves and make themselves void that they could apprehend maturity. Okay? And this is how you heal the sick. This is how you raise the dead. You leave your life to become perfect at it. This is how you overcome all things. You leave what you were to become perfect at it. This is the safety measure built in to the all authority of Jesus Christ. I mean, if he has been given all authority and has commanded us to go in this authority into the nations, whew, that sounds a little risky to be handing that to infants. But this is the safety measure that's built into the authority of Jesus Christ that's been given to the sons of God. This is righteousness on God's part, where there is nothing twisted, that the more voided you are for obedience with a calculated acceptance that it may mean death, the more you will find yourself able to conduct yourself in the exalted Christ who is over all things. Let me read this again. Listen. The more voided you are for obedience, the more voided you are for obedience, the more voided you are for obedience with a calculated choice that this may mean death, the more you will find yourself able to conduct yourself in the exalted Christ who is over all things. You cannot mature into his ability without his commitment. You cannot mature into the ability and authority that we see in Jesus Christ without the commitment to obedience that we see in Christ. This is why we don't see, you know, Jesus or the apostles really teaching about how to heal the sick. Their commitment manifested the exalted authority over all sickness that is in Jesus Christ. So, what do I mean by making yourself void for obedience? This is the part that I was referring to earlier. Listen, obedience is overcoming. Jesus gave many commands for us to overcome. Just that's a great word study. Just look up the word overcome or overcoming in the New Testament. Obedience is overcoming the flesh. It's overcoming the old nature. It's eradicating, overcoming all sickness and disease. It's overcoming death. It's raising the dead. It's overcoming devils. It's driving out devils. It's overcoming oppression, breaking off oppression. It's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. How do you walk in the fruit of the Spirit? You begin overcoming. You leave everything to overcome that everything that's not of him. You leave everything to overcome everything that's not of him. And by the way, this is love. This is laying your life down. How do we lay our life down? Have this same mind that's in Christ Jesus, who went from one state to another and humbled himself to become obedient to death. What is our obedience? Overcome. 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 It's not just healing the sick. It's overcoming the world. Whoever is born of God, John writes this, John the Apostle in 1 John writes this, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Ever met somebody who's all about Jesus, but they are the biggest victim that the world has ever seen? That is not overcoming. And that is not in the image of Christ. See, it's the commitment to obedience. It's the commitment to overcoming that will cause you to be exalted in experience over everything that's in this world. This is why fasting, this is just a few extra things here. This is why fasting is such an aid to your new life in Christ. It helps you to void yourself out. It helps you to get into obedience, which is overcoming all things. It helps drive you into a mindset of complete and utter victory. If we're going to overcome all things, let's just say now that you've made this decision to have this same mind and now you're going to completely forget what you were before, and now as a son of God, you're going to drive yourself into overcoming everything that's of this world, every knee that needs to bow. You're going to drive yourself into becoming God's bond slave to see that it happens. What kind of an attitude is that going to produce in you against things like cancer, things like paralysis, nations that are worshiping false gods? It's going to drive you to be possessed with winning, overcoming, even if it costs you your life. This is what it means to be a mature son, and you will find yourself exalted, not in principle, experientially. You will begin to gain the experience of having authority over all the power of the enemy. All right, so this means, this is the means by which we overcome all things. This is the means by which we heal the sick and overcome the flesh. This is the means by which we preach with power and continue to endure. In its essence, this is how we position ourselves so that faith can come alive in us. We void ourselves of ourselves by focus. We do not void ourselves of ourselves by focusing on ourselves. You can't accomplish this by focusing on how much you have to leave behind and beating yourself up about it and getting condemned and all of these things. Well, this is so much. Listen, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're focusing on the wrong thing. How do we make ourselves void like Jesus? Even though he came from the highest place, he made himself void of that for the sake of obedience to death. He crossed a far larger gap than we're going to have to cross here. But how did he do that? He didn't do it by focusing on himself. Oh, this is just one more thing I have to give up for the Lord. There's one more cross I have to bear. Praise the Lord. Oh, doesn't that feel gross? How do we do this? We do this by forgetting ourselves and driving into the attitude of overcoming all things at all cost. We do this by forgetting ourselves and driving forward with the attitude of overcoming all things at all cost. This is where the aggression comes in that we see in Jesus and those who are maturing, because they have already determined they are going to win no matter what. This is where faith begins to work, because you've already decided beforehand, no matter what it is, we will win. That's why I tell my family all the time, we always win. Hey, it may be a fight, but we're going to win. Philippians 3:13, just a little further. Of all these things we've been reading from Paul, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." What's he talking about? Spiritual maturity. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." He's simplifying for us this mind that is in Christ, who forgot what was behind, who forgot about his equality there in the heavens with his Father, who left it, and who strained forward to complete obedience. The Bible even says that he learned obedience through suffering. Okay? This is the same mindset you must possess and drive yourself forward with, that you could begin to win and overcome and set people free and heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. This is an act of supreme self-renunciation, because you no longer, as Paul said, seek those things that are not of Christ. You have been bought with a price. Your life is no longer your own. See, the Word of God is so full of this attitude. And if you want to mature, you're going to have to drive into it. A supreme act of self-renunciation. Begin to believe who you've been made, and begin to believe the purpose for which you were being given this new life is to overcome this world. It is to eradicate sickness and disease. It's to cause every knee that needs to bow to bow. Jesus said as much. This is my last little verse here. Jesus said as much in Matthew 10:38 and 39. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is exactly the things that Jesus was talking about when he said that verse in Matthew 10:39. This is the mind that was in Christ. And this is the mind that you must possess. If you retain your life for yourself, only doing what pleases yourself, only doing what you're comfortable with, you're going to find yourself immature and without ability. It's true that you have the whole fullness of God in you. And at any point, when you begin to take this mindset, you can begin to grow and function in it more and more and more and more. But it's also true that if you choose your own things above the things of Christ, you will not mature. You will find yourself susceptible to the oppression of hell. You'll find yourself reasoning like a mere man, and you'll find yourself unable to move forward. So I hope this helps you. I hope this helps put things in perspective for you. Again, we don't see the Word of God teaching how to heal the sick, teaching how to drive out devils. We see it simply teaching us the mindset of Christ. And in the same way, we have to follow that path. This is why Paul said, follow my example, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You have to completely forget about you, and not just forget about you and leave it there and then look at everyone and say, oh, look how spiritual I am. I have forgotten about myself. Yes, applaud, give money, you know, write about me. No, that stinks a mile high. We are forgetting about ourselves that we could drive forward into spiritual maturity that overcomes all things. He that is born of God overcomes the world. Jesus said, nothing by any means shall harm you. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is the mindset. Forget about yourself and drive forward. Lay down your life for other people's freedoms so that we could oppress hell instead of being oppressed by it. That hell would not prevail against us. Right now, take a look at the world. Hell is prevailing. Okay? Hell is prevailing against humanity. See, this is not just about the church. This is about the church bringing all nations into one new man, into mature sonship through discipleship, that the influence of hell would be made of no effect. That's Hebrews 2:14, that through his death, he might destroy or make of no effect he who holds the dominion of death, that is the devil. We are here to break the bonds of death over the world. We are here to liberate humanity and see them translated into the kingdom of his son and brought into mature sonship. You get every man in every nation into mature sonship that we see in Christ, you will see an earth where his kingdom has come and his will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the entire point. This is the secret to maturity. And this is the only path that you can take to get there in Jesus' name.